Hi, this is Dr. Diane Hayden, and I am the owner and publisher of National Nutmeg Magazine, Essential Living Maine Magazine, and a series of book collaborations, the latest one being a group of coaches that we're really excited about. The book is going to be called Coaching for Powerful Change, A Key to Unlocking Personal and Professional Transformation. And as I said, it's a group of coaches from all different areas of life and business that have each written a chapter on everything from financial coaching to living authentically to mindfulness, health coaching, spiritual coaching, business coaching, pretty much everything you can imagine you would want to either find a coach for, or if some of you on the call are actually interested in becoming a coach, there's a lot to be learned about how all of these people have gone through that process of becoming coaches and what led them to that. And so I'm excited to have on the call with me today, Renee Brinkerhoff. She wrote the chapter, Providing Radical Nourishment for a Hungry World, Tending to Our Inner World to Create Better Results in the Outer World. Renee is the founder of Radical Nourishment, a board-certified executive and wellness coach, an International Coach Federation TCC level and board member. She brings 25 years of experience in operational and strategic roles in hospitality, healthcare, and wilderness-based education to her work with leaders in transition who are seeking greater results, satisfaction, and resilience in life and purpose-driven work. Co-founder of the Stress Squad and the first ecotherapy program on the East Coast, Renee is a seasoned practitioner of several integrative health methods and continues to seek remedies for modern-day maladies. She also serves as disaster chaplain for New York City. She has authored works in resilience, neuroscience leadership, organizational alignment, equine-assisted coaching, and collaborative strategic planning. Renee has an ability to put people at ease, to sense into their unspoken aspirations and fears, and using a strengths-based, no-nonsense approach, turning them into concrete operational results. Renee invites people to see their repeating patterns, the needs of their stakeholders, and to choose the most effective path forward to accomplish their mission. She enjoys cayenne pepper and swims in the ocean on New Year's Day for the last 25 years. Welcome to the call, Renee. How are you?
Wow. Thank you. I'm actually wonderful, especially after hearing that really great intro. I say, wow, she sounds kind of cool.
Yeah, who is that woman? That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, it is awesome, you know. By age 50, I guess I've packed in a few experiences. And so it's actually kind of fun to have you read that. And but first, Diane, actually let me thank you for bringing us all together, you know, coaches from all sorts of different walks of life and who are holding practices in different disciplines and serving as what I would call non-anxious, loving presences for the rest
right.
of people. You know, that's really what I think the role of coaching is about in its essence, and I am so thrilled that you have pulled this book together, so thank you, thank you, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. It was my pleasure. It's been very exciting and really cool to learn about everybody's different areas of coaching and their, you know, their careers and how they've brought coaching, you know, into their lives, whether it's through private practice or, you know, working within a company. So I always like to start these calls out by, you know, finding out basically how you found your way to coaching and if it was a life event that prompted it or what really kind of led you down the journey to decide to become a coach.
Yeah, interesting question. I actually started as a coach. I kind of backed into it. I have been a coach since before it had a name.
Right. Before there was such a thing as the coaching industry, yep.
Exactly. And so it's been since the 80s, you know? And however, before that, I was an outdoor leadership guide. And I actually grew up as a championship swimmer in California, and I had a coach. And I really admired this coach. But I never really related that there could be a coach other than swimming or sports.
And
so, yeah, and exactly. And so later in life. But I know that this fellow made a lifelong impact on me. And I think having a number of mentor types throughout my life has rocked my world and enabled me in ways I never thought was possible. And that came literally from their acts of kindness, their seeing through to who I was in my essence in a way that very few others had. And then they had the ability to reach into me and pull out something of my best. So no matter what I was doing. And so I would say my exposure to mentors in various arenas, sometimes it meant when I was trying to thrive or when I was in trouble. When I was into drugs and alcohol and all sorts of things in my teenage years, you know, some people who pulled me out of some pits, I would also consider them like coaches. So, but myself, as a leadership guide in the wilderness, you know, rocks are hard, water's wet. It was pretty easy to guide people to stay safe. It's a little more challenging in the, you know, corporate arenas and in our complex lives. How do we help people navigate their waters or navigate their rock in a hard spot? So that's kind of, you know, I use that metaphor and it really works for me. And I did not realize at a very young age what I was being thrust into in leadership and how people really navigated off of me, the level of influence that I saw that I had with folks, how I needed to not misuse my power and just really honor what that role really meant. And always, though, it was about bringing out the best for, in people and serving as a soundboard and championing whatever was important to them.
Mm-hmm. And you do something that's really cool, and I'm sure that people are going to want to know more about it because everybody loves horses, right?
Oh, no, not everybody does. A lot of people are very afraid of horses, like I was for years.
Right, but so maybe everybody likes to look at horses. Maybe they don't want to be, I'm not sure they want to be up close and personal with them, but how did you find that and, you know, work that into what you do now as a practice?
Mm-hmm. Well, so let me back up just a little bit and say that part of my journey of coming into coaching was that I got into working with organizations, and I found that I was much more interested in the process of how things got accomplished. I was interested in the results, but I was more fascinated at how our process actually either brought about better or worse results. So I became impassioned that way, and mostly in a business arena, and how our managers could become really good leaders and remove obstacles to people's excellence. So that, I started coaching as a part of larger kinds of organizational projects or teamwork or things like that. And of course, you know, as I became probably more corporate than I had wanted for a while and commuting to Wall Street and things like that. It was interesting. It was heady. I made money. You know, that's fine. I actually made more than I do now because it was Wall Street back then, right?
Of course. Yep.
Yeah. But, you know what? When it came time to get certified, which I resisted for a long time because I thought, I've been doing this. I'm defining the industry. Why should I have to kowtow and get a certification? And I felt like I would be backing up and going elementary, and so I got frustrated at that whole process. But what happened was a colleague of mine was offering the only ICF, the International Coach Federation equine facilitated coaching program in the world. And she and I have worked together for many, many years, and this had been her passion. I used to show horses as a young girl, but I will say that many years ago I had the experience of being frightened of the horses and needing them to do something for me, meaning make me look good, get me over that jump, and get me, you know, here in a certain time. And so I dominated. I had power over. That has nothing to do with the relationship building and the kind of consensual, how do I create followership and an authentic relationship with this being that I actually might be intimidated by, and in such a way that they actually serve as a metaphor for anything I might be afraid of in my life. But then the horses, actually, if I'm authentic to that, they will partner with me in a really powerful way. And they will also give me very quick feedback, and my clients. And in fact, Diane, I've never seen it not work. So that is how I got my certification, both in ICF, and I was able to get back to my roots as kind of a leadership guide and being outdoors. And to be honest, nature is pretty much the only thing that's ever really made sense to me. So, and when we get corporate groups out there working with horses, you know, they say the same. It's like they work in a box. And then they get out there and it's like, oh, I remember my animal instinct. And there's something really wonderful about that. And being in the ring. So, and it's a great metaphor for life and work.
Right, really, definitely. Yeah, I think it's fascinating. You know, I'm sure a lot of people probably didn't even know there was such a thing as equine assisted coaching, and so that's going to open up a whole new world for a lot of people. It's really amazing, I think, on a number of different levels.
Well, it is, and let me just give you one quick example that a colleague of mine is working on. It's really quite astounding how it is being discovered, but one thing that is notable is that young doctors that are going into med school, you know, for many years they would get out and they would have lots of technical knowledge about anatomy and physiology and what can go wrong. What they didn't have was bedside manner. And what we know is that when doctors used to make house calls, people would feel better just because the doctor sat by their side and related to them in a certain way. Well, these young students are now being brought to stables. And they are being invited to create authentic relationships with the horses and to create followership and and so what's happening is that is translating to how they engage with their patients, and it's absolutely fascinating.
Yeah, wow, that's amazing.
It's really great. It's great. And I was what's that?
Very smart, I think. You know, it makes sense, definitely.
Well, I have to say that's true, because not long ago I was in the ICU with a friend, actually last month this time, and he was very, very ill with a really advanced cancer, and I would swear to you that these people had been with the horses. These really advanced doctors, I could not believe how connected they were with my experience and the experience of this fellow's family as we were going through this with him, and just the sort of endless patience, tolerance, compassion that they seem to have, and presence, and combined with leadership. And I would say that's the kind of stuff that comes out of these sessions.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, anyway, just a little
bit. Yeah, amazing. So one of the questions I ask is, and you kind of already answered that, you know, is how did you decide what coaching program you wanted to go through? And you talked a little bit about, you know, your resistance to that, and then this opportunity came about. Can you tell us a little bit about, specifically about the coaching program that you did and how people could get more information about that?
Mm-hmm. It is with Meta System Consulting. Meta System Consulting, And Equine Alchemy is the name. And Lisa Morrell and Shelley Whitehouse lead it up right now. And they've got a few different locations. And they have done a lovely job of working. You've got to always find a school that's going to ground you in the fundamentals of the competencies for the International Coach Federation, because that's really got the international stamp of approval on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you want it to have whatever bent you want. You know, there's ITEC, which is all about sort of the energy levels and the vibration levels of different energies that we carry and how resonant we are with our teams, you know, as leaders and all of that stuff. So that's, you know, totally different from a... yeah, exactly. From an Equine Alchemy. And what's kind of nice is that they have, in this, they do marketing. They'll teach you some marketing skills and lots of style assessments and, you know, all sorts of other wonderful things.
Right. Yeah, very interesting. They all do kind of have their own little niche. I actually went through ITEC. That was the program that I did. And that's exactly why it resonated with me. I was totally interested in the whole, you know, other side of looking at it from the perspective of, like you said, energy, vibration, you know, kind of a little bit of a more spiritual bent, I guess I'll say. Then, you know, something like Coaches Training Institute or some of the university-based coaching programs, which I think are more geared towards people that are interested in coaching maybe at a corporate level or coaching executives, and it's more, you know, business-based. And then the program you have, obviously, you know, from a whole different perspective as far as using horses. So there are so many out there, and it's really just a matter of finding the one that I think resonates with you and kind of matches what your needs are and philosophies and where you want to go with it.
Indeed, indeed. And for a while now, I've been in leadership over at the Graduate Institute in Bethany, Connecticut, and they have a coaching program, actually something really cool starting in September, and it's transformational coaching. And it's got a really strong spiritual base, and it's also related to their Master's in Consciousness Studies. So a lot about adult levels of evolution and things like that, a la, you know, Robert Keegan's work at Harvard. So that's also another bet. So good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. So what do you think you've done to make yourself stand apart in the coaching industry and enable you to build a successful practice? And what are some things that you would suggest to someone who's just coming out with a coaching degree about, you know, what's needed as far as, you know, being able to be successful with so many, I think with just, you know, so many people going into this? What do you think has made you stand apart or would be helpful to someone else?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I had a goal early on, Diane, of, you know, get in the room. Get in the room with as many people, as many different companies, organizations, cultures, styles as possible, and taste of them, and also learn a solid methodology that is tried and true, and then innovate from there.
Mm-hmm.
So that has always worked for me. So whether it's been training or consulting or something like that, or affiliating with other coaching agencies around the world, places that hire coaches and also train them. And so, like, there's David Rock's organization, you know, with neuro leadership, and they have a very specific way that they go about things. but it's just really helpful to be hired on to different agencies. And I love getting the call. It's like, hey, can you take this case? Or it's like, this is your mission should you choose to accept it, right? And it'll self-destruct. No. It's like, I love that. And they all pay, you know, at really different rates. And based on our level of certification and things like that. But if you're lucky, they will take you on and if they like your basic stuff that you're made of and your experience in the workplace, they'll give you some training and get you on the same page with their coaches, and then we learn their particular flavor and can serve their clients to that. And I just really like that. And then I can innovate and be unique to me. I'm always going to be unique to me. And I think that's one of the other keys, is that we have to be authentic to who we are. And, you know, my approach is generally around this radical nourishment, which I can speak a little bit more about. And given the fact that I have the horse thing, it's really, you know, I have a very strong focus on physiology and somatics and what's the role of stress and our energy and how aware are we of that and how much is just enough and how much is too much, when are we at our tipping point. And so I have a very strong focus on that and on not just results but also satisfaction for the individual accomplishing the result. And so, you know, I work in that context, but I work also in the vein of what other organizations need me to do. They have a fundamental that they need delivered. So that's part of how I've built the practice. Does that help? Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it's very interesting because a lot of people, or I would say the majority of most of the coaches that have collaborated on this book have pretty much built their practice from a more, I guess I'll just call it a traditional standpoint. You know, they got their coaching degree, they went out, they kind of beat the pavement and, you know, did a lot of networking and got writing and got their name out there and whatnot. And what you were just discussing is a different avenue in the sense of, you know, going through like an existing organization that hires coaches. So I'm glad you brought that up because I don't think that's something that I have covered with any of the others. So it just gives people, you know, another option or another avenue to pursue in terms of how they want to build their practice.
Yes, yes. I do find it helpful, and I think, you know, it's like you have to, you know, my decision was, I mean, I don't do as well what you do. You are a great marketer, and that's not where I want to spend all my time. I need you to market me, you know. It's like that's not as fun for me as engaging in the trenches, in the work, you know. And so I need a you.
Right. Yep.
Yeah.
That's what I tell so many practitioners. They're all trying to do everything themselves. It's like, oh my God, come on. You know, you gotta hire some stuff out because you'll drive yourself crazy trying to run every aspect of the business. There's just not enough time in the day.
It's true. It's really true. It's
yeah.
Really, you know, and to focus on simply being high quality and offering customer service to our people. And doing good follow-up and sending them an article afterwards and a thank you, you know, all that stuff and getting the systems in place rather than having to constantly be marketing. Yeah, and that's your role. In fact, I think I'll be calling you again soon about that.
Great. So let's talk a little bit about what somebody would expect if they worked with you directly as far as being a coach. And I know you wrote a great article for us that's in National Nutmeg. I think it was back in April, the April or May issue maybe, on equine assisted coaching. And basically, that if anybody's, you know, interested in learning more about that, I'm sure they can, you know, go to your website or other websites. But that's a good starting point, too. That article was really informative about the whole process. But let's just talk a little bit about that. You know, what would somebody expect by doing that kind of work with you?
Well, I can work in a number of contexts. So, I work, let's put it this way. I work on a continuum. At one side is behavioral. We come from the outside in. You know, sometimes people, I'm called on because there's trouble, there's hemorrhaging, there's lots of mistakes being made, whatever. I'm called by an organization. Or I'm called by the individual. And it's like, it's just things are just not working. We need to change this one little thing. And it's kind of mechanical. Then there's the other, then move down the continuum, and it's about performance. It's like, okay, how do you get better results so that you can just, like, keep your work, you know, keep your job, or perform better in your home relationships, or how you transition home from work, or how you take care of your body while you're engaged in your work. You know, this kind of thing, so performance. Then go another step, and there's kind of four total here. Whole person is very much about how is the emotional, physical, and spiritual being engaging in their workplace and in their life. And so that's kind of more full scale and kind of looking at the whole balance of that. And it's not just about better results, but very much about satisfaction and what creates lasting satisfaction and value in somebody's life. And then go out to the far end, which is transformational. And that is like, I don't have any idea. I know I'm not who I've been, and I'm not yet who I'm going to be. And I am terrified. I have no idea. It's like, come to the edge and show up and wait for further instructions.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, it's like, I know that something radical has to change, and I know that I want to live from a different place in me. I want to relate to my relationships differently. I want to have a different relationship to work all around. I want it to be more like play. Or, you know, and so that gets more into our thinking. So how then I work, what level people want to work at, I can work a half an hour at a time. It's very functional, very high impact, very performance based. Like, I work with one organization, and they work with literally like the top 1% of leaders around the world in sports teams, universities, organizations. And they work in four levels with movement, nutrition, mindset, and recovery. So this is to help leaders maintain high sustainable performance energy. And that would be in the first, you know, area, behavior and performance. So I'm coaching only to that. And I can do bang, 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 half hour sessions, right? And we can get some really major changes in behavior and performance and result for people. Then I work, and that could be maybe over a 3-month period, and we're only checking in every once in a while. But then I work, say, on a 90-day challenge, more like 6 months. We're talking every 2 weeks, and it's maybe a 1 or 2 hour session, and it's more whole person based. And they're, you know, challenged with leading their team. They're challenged with making the transition to home and not having taken good enough care of themselves. And so by the time they get home, they're totally depleted. So how do they prepare themselves for that? How do they see themselves in their world? How do they not want to be seen by others? You know, so we're engaging at a whole lot of levels that way. And certainly, that's when maybe working with the horses might come in to play, because one of those sessions we can meet up at the stables. And, things I might have been telling them, or they might be telling themselves that they have an inkling about, or we've been walking around for a while, they haven't quite been ready to see, the horse will actually reflect that in very short order. And it kind of gets invests more in the person's bones. And really, that's where commitment has to live. You know, it's not just a short-term compliance. It's like deeper commitment. I'm all about this. I'm making this change. I get it. I see it. I'm paying too many prices in my life for not being this. And then also in the transformational arena, I will do a 3-day intensive. And that's really incredible stuff. And I work with these basic 5 questions, and I can give them to you. It's around, you know, what am I confronting? You know, what am I really ready to confront in myself? Like, I can't go any longer the way I'm going. What am I bringing to that? What's my history? What do I believe about this change or about this thing that's in my way or about myself? What have my parents always told me that, you know, hasn't quite worked for me? And then the third question is, what's been running me so far? You know, what's in the little black box of my operating system? And, you know, I have a way that you can kind of peer into that and say, you know, what have I been, how have I been trying to be seen in the world that's now all of a sudden getting in my way and I don't have access to my full authentic self? How am I living only half a life? And then the fourth question, what calls me? What's my career purpose? And the fifth question, what will unleash me? And that's really where you get into action and details around, like, okay, on a daily basis, weekly, monthly, what's this going to look like? And so I do all of that in a 3-day period, and we do take a walk to the stables. And then I do, you know, follow-up and reminder and support from there. So, yeah.
Yeah, those questions are awesome. I mean, you know, as you were just going through them, I'm like, wow. They really cover, I think, almost I everything. You know, like from what are you bringing, you know, what kind of things in the past are you bringing with you, what's in your way right now, what can you draw on, you know, what strengths can you draw on to move forward, and what's really the motivating factor for you to do any of this or make any of these changes?
That.
Yeah. Really powerful, great questions, I'm sure.
Yeah, those come from a man named John Scherer, Dr. John Scherer, and he really, that's his invention, I would have to say, and so I definitely owe those questions to him, and I've worked with him kind of in leadership-intensive arenas all over the world in a body-mind-spirit context, and the horses fit really well into that context. It's very interesting because you can either work with them around what are you confronting, or it becomes very obvious what are we bringing into the situation, and you'll see that written up in my article. You'll see that, you know, when the client said, oh, this horse is thirsty, it's bored, it doesn't want to deal with me, I'm like, oh my God, where are you getting that idea? You know, it's like, you know, she completely brought that into the ring. You know, the horse didn't have that until she, you know, came in. And then or it can be around what are my aspirations? And so oftentimes I'll stand outside the ring and ask the person to look at the horse and just say, connect with the horse's heart and say, what's my heart's desire? And then just start to connect with the horse's heart. And then just, okay, good, are you ready to go in and have an experience? And then they literally start almost in dance with the horse. And it reveals itself. It just, I don't have to know anything. It's almost crazy.
Yeah.
It works.
I mean, as you're explaining it, and even, you know, some of the experiences you talked about in your article that you wrote for us, I think it's still kind of nebulous for most people. Like, they're thinking, I imagine they would be thinking, okay, well, what exactly is the horse going to do or not do based on what I'm bringing, you know, into the ring?
Is that a question?
Yeah.
Okay.
If you can answer it, I'm not sure if you can answer it or not, but...
Well, yeah. I mean, I can give you a very personal example. And it's not easy for me to share it, but I will. I watched my colleague go in the ring and demonstrate like what it was going to be like to actually be in almost like a just like a dance. Like you, there's a few rules, you know. It's like you enter, and if we're the ones approaching the horse, which is like with anything, if we're the ones approaching anything, it actually, if we listen with our whole being, they are the ones that need to define the boundaries if we're approaching them. And we need to be reverent toward that, right? So you actually literally almost walk through rings of energy that you can feel. It's like, oh, wow, it just hit a boundary. Most of the time, we crash through people's boundaries, and we do not realize it. And we've offended somebody before we even the first word got out of our mouth, you know? So that's one of the things that's very interesting, and we have to learn to watch for the horse's physiology in that case, or to the person that we're approaching or that we want to sell something to, right? So are their ears twitching, right? I mean, maybe you can't see the ears of the person you're going to sell something to, but you can see the horse's skin kind of twitch, or their ears go back, or any number of things. And you go, huh, it's just, you know, you just kind of get curious. And then you stop. And then you learn to back up, or you learn to exhale, because they will key off of our nervous system, right? As we are all keying off of each other's nervous system, actually, all the time. You know, we have this animal instinct, but generally we override it. And that's the sad part about being in modern culture. We override these basic instincts that we actually know. You know, this person is immediately trustable, or I need to go a step further to really clarify the contract because, you know, I don't think we're speaking the same language here, right?
Right.
So it all becomes very interesting and helpful. Now, if we stand still and the horse is approaching us, or anyone is approaching us, it is up to us to set that boundary so that they don't cross it. Because that means we need to be crystal clear on what's happening in our physiology. We need to notice, am I breathing okay? What's my, we call it level of arousal. It's like, did my heart rate just go up? Did I just notice that the needle moved? You know, like I just got nervous or scared about something. And can I be authentic to that? Or if I'm about to step in front of 200 people to give a talk, you know, can I befriend that part of myself that is terrified?
Mm-hmm.
And it's in those cases that, you know, people will then actually start partnering with us. And they care more about what we're saying, because we're actually more authentically with them, because we're more authentically with ourselves, rather than kind of just trying to talk over the top of it. And then we lose contact with our true self and with our heart and connection with the other. So that's where the horse is very, very helpful in helping us literally prepare for situations in our work life, and in order to better our own game. And partly because Dan, the horse is like a what I call an outsourced like limbic system, meaning they are always they're not trying to interpret. They're not always telling themselves another story about us. They can press reset. You know, they can press the reset button like really fast. What they're keyed into is this person safe or dangerous?
Right.
And literally, if we are not authentic to ourselves, we're dangerous. We're dangerous to ourselves and to others. We're actually not a really safe, grounded, loving, non-anxious presence. We're bringing something else that's disturbing the situation.
Right.
And we need to know it. And the horse will give us immediate feedback. And so you know what we have to do? All we have to do is come within 20 feet of that horse, and we know. Or much farther away, because they know much well before we do, whether it's any number of senses they're using. Or we walk in the rain, or we pick up the lead rope and we just lead them around. All of those things we're going to notice. Do they pull back? Do they go along? Are they perfunctory in how they're following directions? In the case that I was going to share with you, I got in there and I said, hey, no problem. I got this. Great. I just saw her do that. I can do this. I got this one. So I go walking in, I would say fairly arrogantly. Oh, God. And all of a sudden, I realized I did not know what I was doing. And, or at least I told myself, oh, my God, I don't know what I'm doing. And I got into this really old, yucky, familiar place. And it's like, it happens to me when I go, like, to write articles for people like you.
I'm sorry.
Or chapters, and I go, oh, my God, I don't know what I'm doing. It's just weird that I get confronted with this right away. And then all of a sudden, or before I do an interview like this, I go, oh, I don't even know what I'm talking about. Why is she asking me these things? But this is like from being a little kid and feeling like the world is too big, I'm scared, I'm lost. In this case, I have that experience. I'm in the center of the ring. The horse wants to engage with me, and I'm realizing I don't know how to offer leadership. So I literally started to do what I'm doing now, which is almost like stutter, and the horse lost total interest, became completely bored with me. Oh, my God, it really was, and started to go over to the fence. Like, left me. He gave me his butt to look at. And basically went over and started gnawing on the wood, you know, to show me how bored it was. And of course, that's making me worse, right? And so, but I had a coach, okay? I had a coach. It was Lisa Morrell. And she said, what's going on, right? She's watching me get more and more anxious. And so she did, like, you know, like a process break. What's going on? And I said, I don't even want to say it. It's just, I'm like nauseous at how I feel. She goes, well, what's the predominant feeling? I said, I feel lost. And she's like, oh, well, why don't you just feel it? I'm like, oh, right. Like, I want to feel lost? She said, yeah, I want you to feel it. And I was like, please. Would you just let me feel anything but lost? Because that is for me. Thank you. Thank you. And I realized that's what happened, is I just, and I worked myself into a tizzy. The horse could have cared less. He wasn't attached one way or the other, right? He was waiting for me to get better. Anyway, so I literally, she said, now, Linnea, feel it. And I literally went to my knees. I was like, oh, God, anything but this. And that, but you know what? When I gave in, I went to my knees. I started crying. The horse was still over there, like, kind of looking at me with one eyeball, but yeah. Then still, you know, grabbing a hold of the fence, you know, like, what is this girl doing in her pity party?
Right.
You know? Yeah. But at the same time, he started to have compassion for me. The horse did, but I didn't care about that. What I cared about was my level of pain, my level of feeling lost. And I'm like, I'm here now. It's never going to get better. Like, it had to get worse before it got better.
Right.
And I'm looking at the ground. I'm like, oh, God, I'm mortified. I've got all these people around watching. But then it's like, forget everybody else. Let me just be right here. And before I knew it, I showed up to that moment, as bad as it was for me. And then the next thing I knew, I looked up and I saw a beam of sun. And I started to follow it because it was the only light. And I was like, okay. And I looked up and I took a breath. And I immediately felt better, And I was like, oh, you know what? If I could start from this basic place, maybe I could go somewhere with this. And I had that thought, and no sooner I had that thought, I feel the horse's nose right at my cheek. I'm like, oh my God. You know, I mean, it's so up close and personal. It's so intimate. It's so real. It's so raw. And it's so true. And basically, he responded immediately to the fact that I had come through this hard place, and I was ready. And he was like, are you ready? Because I am. And he wasn't a threat. He wasn't bored. He was now intrigued, interested, present, because I was. And I was willing to be in the ring with all aspects of myself. And I remember, because I had a crop, and I didn't want to be wielding power, but I needed to, and I remember picking that up. And I looked at the horse's physiology, and he was like, finally, this is great. We get to play, I get to work, because you know what? Horses want to serve. And I think we as human beings want to serve. And we want to be in relationship with each other. And we want to be called to our best self. And we have these inner enemies. And it's all okay. And we can always start again.
Yep, that's amazing. Thank you for sharing that. I'm sure it's not easy to. But, yeah, I mean, that whole story just totally elicits, I think, what the relationship is between you and the horse and what you need to do before the horse is ready to work, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a really great point. And it's not just, again, it's, you know, horses are our partners, but really, life is our partner. And they're showing up with feedback. You know, the workplace is our partner. Our primary relationships are our partner. Our relationship with ourselves, you know, and then really, the horse just reveals that. We just have to know how to look at that, how to interpret that, how to understand that. And that's all I do as, you know, an equine facilitated coach, because really, the horse is the partner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sometimes you need a horse to tell you what you need to do. Because you're not going to hear it from yourself or from anybody else.
No, you got to hear it from the horse's mouth. Ooh, but
right.
I think.
That's so funny.
I know. I had to throw that in.
Well, great. What a great story. So before we close, I want to just talk a little bit about how people can get a hold of you, if you have any websites that you want to send them to, that they can learn more about you or just equine assisted coaching and how people can get in touch with you.
The eponadevi.com. 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 That's my website. And that will speak to the kind of coaching that I do in an equine sense. And I do lots of coaching that does not revolve around the equine work. I do lots of business development. I do lots of other types of transformational stuff. I would just say call me, you know, Linnea Brinkerhoff. That's 203-913-7398. 203-913-7398, and we can have a conversation and see how I might be able to serve. So, and if I'm lucky, by the time this comes out, I will have a new website, which is LinnaeAirBrinkerHoff.com.
Cool.
So you'll find me there. And I do have lots of things on the web, you know, different types of articles and our chapter and all sorts of other things that hopefully have some helpful hints and talk about my stories of defeat and the role of, you know, resilience and being able to bounce back. And, you know, very much my life and my work is about that. And it's about what nourishes us on a sustaining basis and what are the key ingredients that have to be present in our lives for us to experience really deep, lasting satisfaction. and for us to be unwavering about that with ourselves and to know what our needs are and be able to advocate for them. And yeah, feel in a complex world. So this is what I'm about, providing that for people. So thank you so much for inquiring into that, Diane, and giving us a platform for this valuable work with people.
Oh, of course, of course. And thank you. This has been a great call. Very interesting, informative. I'm sure that people are going to, you know, look you up and get in touch with you and all that. So thanks again for your time. And we will talk to you soon.
You bet. Thanks, Diane.
Okay.
Appreciate it. All right.
Yep.
All the best.
Okay.
Bye.